We're going to look at gifts this morning within the body, functioning of the body, continuing on thinking about the topic of the church. And I'd like to just begin by reading some portions of Scripture. We'll start in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I want to look at the three main areas in the New Testament that talk about gifts. So Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit, for in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And finally, Ephesians chapter 4. It's good to read these things. It's good to see them and let the Lord work in our hearts. 4:7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he first also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And so these are the three main passages in the New Testament that deal with the gifts of the Spirit given to men. So what is a spiritual gift? It's a spiritual enablement or talent given freely by God's grace. We read that several times. All three of these accounts brought that out in some way, shape, or form. And it's given on the basis and merit and the authority of the gospel. The gospel is free. And so are the gifts. We do not lay hands on people to try and save them. We don't lay hands on people to try and bestow some kind of gift. It is given on the authority of the gospel. God does it. We read, the Spirit distributes it as He wills. The members are placed in the body according to the will of God. He does it. All of this is based on the authority of the gospel. And gifts, spiritual gifts, should not be confused with natural talents or abilities. What's the difference? It's black and white right before us. What spiritual gifts are and are not. You can easily turn to any one of these references that we just read and read all about them. You hear oftentimes on that subject about how you could use your talent for God. I'm not saying that you can't. There are professional ball players that do actually give glory to Christ. But we are talking about spiritual gifts, not talents of men that are natural or they have exercised and perfected themselves. Do you see the difference? These are spiritual things given on the authority of the gospel. And the purpose is for the edification of the body. We just had a Wednesday night study and we went through the purpose of the church. And I asked everyone there before we started and any slide went up, I said, what do you think the purpose of the church is? And there was all kinds of answers. And they were good answers. Evangelism and getting together and learning and you know, being a light and to each other and the community, all these things, that was all good. But one major thing that we rarely talk about that is the purpose of the church, we focus a lot on outreach, and that's good. But if you skip this step, there isn't going to be much outreach, and that is a massive purpose of the church, is to edify itself in love. You have to be edified. You have to be, or you're not going to grow. And you're not going to outreach. And you're going to stunt. Okay, we have to be edified. And this is a major purpose of the gifts given to men is for the edification of the church. We're going to read, it's in 1 Corinthians 14. It says just that. The source is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. We read those verses, and we'll look more at these things in a moment. But every believer has one or more spiritual gifts. We read that as well. And no believer has all the gifts, and therefore we are dependent on each other for growth. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. There's a cycle here that we need to recognize. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 12, we read this. I had to pull up a picture from a slide that's way down through here, and I'm not going to go digging for it and try and get back here. This is what happens when a guy that's not tech savvy is trying to be tech savvy. You got to take pictures of your screen so you can flip back. Anyway, so there's a circle of events that take place here in Ephesians 4, and it's important to grasp this. The church wants to be edified, and the church wants to be using its gifts and enablements for that purpose. But there's also a goal to all of this. It's not just to edify myself or even the body for that matter. That's not the end game. The end game is to glorify the Lord and to, as it says, come to the stature of the fullness of Christ. But backing up to verse 12, it's for the equipping of the saints these things are given. Okay? For the work of ministry. So, for the equipping of the saints, or the furnishing of the saints. That's what the word equipping means. So this body, when we come together, is meant to be a time and a place where we are fed the Word of God so that we might grow. 1 Peter 2, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You're not in the Word, you're not going to grow. It's that simple. That's why we try and instill these habits into our kids at an early age, right? Make a time during the day that you sit down and get in the Word of God. It's crucial. You don't feed a baby milk, it ain't going to grow. In fact, it'll die. We have to be in the Word of God. It's essential. So that is one purpose. It's for the equipping of the saints and for the work of ministry. So when we get fed and we are growing, the believer can be effectively involved in the work of serving the Lord. Okay? So these things are given so that we can be growing, and then we want to start practicing this, what we are talking about and learning about and so forth, right? When we come together. We don't want to just keep coming together to no ends or no purpose. And finally, for the edifying of the body of Christ. When one is serving, the believer can now, with his gifts and maturity, build up other believers. See, when you're a newborn, you come in and you need to be fed. And then as you grow, you begin practicing your gift. And you don't neglect that gift, as Paul told Timothy. And you exercise that thing. And then you begin ministering to other people. And the cycle continues toward the goal, the stature and fullness of Christ. And that means maturity, the word stature. Maturity and the fullness or completion of Christ. And we're not going to get to the completion this side of glory. But this is kind of the big picture, okay? And the idea behind this. We want to not only be growing, but the idea is that the work goes on when we're gone. Right? These gifts are spiritual gifts, and God keeps giving them because man comes and goes. And we have a time here. We are going to come and go. And it's kind of like parenting, isn't it? I mean, we don't want to be doing everything for our kids, bottle feeding them until they're 21. And washing their clothes and cooking all their meals and blah, all this stuff. They need to learn how to do this because one day you're not going to be there. And they have to do this. And so this is the idea behind this. And if we can get this mindset that this isn't about us, isn't even just about our little fellowship, but it's about others growing and doing the work of the Lord for eternal weights, glories, and rewards. We want this edification so that people grow and do well for the Lord. Believers each have, and notice this, I highlighted different. We are very different, aren't we? In fact, we have different gifts. We have different measures of the same gift. We have different ministries for the gift, and there's different activities for the gift to operate in. And we need to be careful not to become impatient with each other and keep this in mind. We read in these verses when we started, we've all been given a measure, okay? And not everyone's been given the same measure. So we have to be patient with one another in these things. But again, not to get short, frustrated, whatever, but do we want to somehow see how we can help each other in these things to advance, grow, move on? But notice what is the same. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God. So you have one head, you have one body, but you have different members with different functions. We're involved right now. This really hit me over Friday night. We were invited over to some friends' place and we were discussing this. We're involved right now in preparing for a graduation, as you all know. And there's a large group of people, all homeschooled, obviously, to have this ceremony for this graduation and all these people. And it's kind of mass chaos, to be quite honest. Yeah, this is an illustration, but not a good one. But I'm going to share this because it's very applicable. We have this group of people, okay? And you have a goal. We want to have this ceremony, right? Well, we have this meeting, and people that should not be doing the leading and the guiding and directing, of course, are always the ones that seems to be the first ones to pipe up and have to try and take charge of the thing. Knowing full well that there are people sitting there who have gone through this 4 or 5 times already, why wouldn't you just yield to them? They have the experience. They know how this goes. Just let them organize it, right? Oh, no. We're homeschoolers. We do things the way we want to do it. We pick our own curriculum, and we administer it the way we best see fit. We are the parents. The attitude. And unfortunately, the end result is a mess. We are just a couple months away now from the final product, and we just determine where the thing is going to be taking place. And there's nothing else really accomplished yet. And I brought up Friday night because one of the families that's also involved invited us over, discussed some of this, so forth, and it just hit me in discussing all this and thinking about this for Sunday is that the body has to work together. You have different functions, and it's not about just I want to do it my way and we're going to get this done and all that. It's you have to recognize what other people are capable of and allow the Spirit to use them, and they need to do it too. And you're not helping by diving in and trying to do not only what you're not gifted to do, but trying to do everything. Gifts are given to edify the body. Here's the verse. Since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. It's important to understand that. This isn't about us. Here's some bad attitudes. My gift is more helpful than others. I'm no good. I have nothing to offer. Why doesn't this person just do this? Or, well, if nobody else will do it, then I'll just do it. That really is the first one. That's really what you're saying. I'm very talented. I'll do it. I can do anything. I'll give you a personal testimony on this. Storybook, Uncle Bill. He contacted me, asked, would you like to come up and counsel this year, or do you have time to share the word? And I responded with, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And he sent back, and I'll never forget this, it was classic Uncle Bill. He goes, wow, I didn't know that I was in the, or had the, so many options with this individual, or, you know, something to that effect. Well, I got it right away. I didn't mean it like that, but it really did sound arrogant, didn't it? Whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. Like I'm just capable of doing whatever. Yeah, my gift is more helpful than others. Yeah, be careful of this stuff. You don't want to rob others of opportunity by trying to do everything. This is the opposite side of the coin. People that see things a lot of times, they recognize it and they want to jump in, and that's good. But you can't have the blinders on so that you're not aware of other people's abilities, talents, spiritual gifts that need to come in and be exercising as well. That is not good for you or them or the body. You're trying to do it, and you're not called to do that. We're not called to try and do everything. Okay, so these are the gifts. I'm going to buzz through these. They're actually every gift that I could find in the New Testament. There's several. I'm not going to spend time on every one of these slides. I will say this about the apostles and prophets. Okay, you have this verse in Ephesians 2:20 that talks about the foundation being laid by the apostles and prophets. And it is interesting when you look through especially the book of Acts and the New Testament, but especially the book of Acts, that the apostles and the prophets were foundational. And when we talk about the gifts of like miracles and healings and such, you will find that the apostles, by and large, were the ones that God used for those miracles. And I'm not saying that those things can't happen today, but I just know that there are believers out there today that wonder why people aren't getting healed the way they were then. Why don't we see these things happening the way it did in the book of Acts? And I've heard people say that they're not prayed up enough and we're not following God enough and our faith isn't strong enough. And there's all these different human intellectual reasoning to try and explain this thing when the reality is, if you look at who performed these things and when they happened, that's the other thing. By and large, it was done, I believe, to authenticate the message, Hebrews chapter 12, that with the church. And it was the establishment of this completely new concept called the church, breaking away from Judaism and being established. And God had purpose for these things. And I know in if any of you have read Randy Amos's book on the church, he uses the illustration of a building project, and it is a very good illustration. When you start to build a house, you start with a backhoe, right? To dig a hole, you need to get the foundation in. This is big equipment. Cats, bulldozers, you know, skid steers, backhoes. You don't go there with a little mini excavator or a teaspoon and start digging a hole. You use big equipment, and you get that basement in, and you get the concrete poured, get the foundation in, and you get it backfilled, and now it's ready to start building upon that foundation. But what do you do with the backhoe? Do you save it and bring it in at trim time? Drive it into the living room and start hanging trim on the wall? No. You're done with that tool. You put it away. But the building remains. And you build upon that. And it's different tools for different jobs at the time. And I think that's a very good illustration. We don't need to try and make up excuses for why we don't see the same things that we saw in the book of Acts. The purpose of the book of Acts is not to relive the apostles' life, but to glean from their teaching and their life and move on in the instruction that they clearly give us in the epistles. Acts is a transitional book. It is not the norm. And so, and again, I'm not detracting from God doing miracles and healing people. I have seen God heal people, okay? Not like stand up and walk healing, but they have been cured of certain things that doctors told them it was impossible. Brian, our friend Brian who was here, he just had surgery, that second surgery. They went in and they were shocked and find that there was no cancer in his brain anymore. When they left it there the last time, they couldn't get it all. And so, I mean, miracles happen. I'm not taking away from that at all. I'm saying they're not the norm. Healings, again, you know, I mean, things like this. This is not the norm. Peter's shadow, Paul's handkerchief, healing people. You know, James tells us, sick believers, call for the elders of the church to pray. Not everybody was healed. Timothy had stomach infirmities. Paul had thorn in the flesh. He wasn't healed. Again, foundational thing here. Tongues. We've spent time on this. Supernatural ability to speak a language that never learned. Yeah. Interpretation. It's a supernatural ability to understand a language one hasn't learned and to translate it to the body. The same person that has the gift of tongues may or may not have this gift. And there's the reference for that. Teacher, it's the ability to communicate effectively the truths of Scripture so that others can understand and grow. Paul had this gift. Tried to. There's examples of these things in Scriptures. Pastor, we spent a little more time on this last week. Again, a shepherd, literally or figuratively, that's the definition, shepherd, pastor. The ability to shepherd or feed a flock. Again, every occurrence of the word in the New Testament refers to a literal shepherd, by and large. That's what it refers to. Or the Lord Jesus. There's a few times that it refers to him. Here, it is a gift. Again, it's not an office, but a gift. Nor a title to be given to any man more than any other gift. And notice where it was given. In Ephesians there, it's with a list of other individuals. Some commentators point that out. And it's an individual. But we don't go around, and just with the title thing, I mean, nobody ever says, here comes Evangelist Bob. Here comes Giving Susan. So why do we say, here comes Pastor so-and-so? It's the same concept. It's a gift. There's no qualifications needed for that. It's a gift. That's the huge difference in Scripture that you see between, like, elder, pastor. Again, we talked about it last week. I would just remind everybody, too, Matthew 23:8, the Lord makes it very clear. He says this, but you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. And it's obvious here, it's not bad to call your dad my father. The Lord even did that in Scripture. The point here is, this is on a level of holy reverence to these people. And this is exactly what the Lord went on to say in those passages, refuting it. You don't get into that. God gives the man the ability to gift to shepherd. Okay? It is a gift, shepherding, but Christ alone is the chief shepherd. A healthy church will have several pastors. People that help people, guide people, feed people, lead people. You can have the gift of pastoring and not be an elder, but it's pretty hard to be an elder and not have the gift of pastoring or shepherding. Evangelists. Some of us know an evangelist from the Colfax area. That's all I got to say. The name probably just popped in your head. He just has the ability. It's an amazing ability. I've witnessed it. He can share the gospel with anybody. It's incredible. And he does it in a very respectful, polite way. And it edifies the people around him. It's really amazing when you see these gifts working. Exhortation. Stir into action with Scripture. Encouraged in the right paths, warn of danger. The Epistle of Hebrews that whole book is a book of exhortation. Word of wisdom, applying biblical principles to specific life situations. Knowledge is knowing the facts, wisdom is knowing what to do with it. Stephen showed that ability in Acts 6. Word of knowledge, ability to know the will of God from Scripture, difficult situations. James showed this. Acts 15. Faith helps. Aquila and Priscilla had this. Paul. Administrations. Ministry or service. Serving others, giving practical aid. Giving. This is an interesting gift too, if you think about it. It's sharing or imparting, but also doing it effectively. Giving in areas where you have maybe a little discernment also as to how it's going to do the most good. And seeing more and beyond maybe whatever or whatever you're giving to. And seeing beyond that what it could also do. Showing mercy. Examples there. Discernment. Peter showed this with Ananias and Sapphira. Hospitality. So recognizing your gift. First and foremost, are you saved? You're going to have a spiritual gift if you're not a believer. And know what the spiritual gifts are versus talents that unbelievers have. There's a big difference. In the work of the Lord, these are just some questions to ask yourself if you're wondering what your gift might be. I mean, what areas stand out to you? Even when you're reading your Bible, are there things that jump out at you that you recognize and it's the same theme all the time? Perhaps you are an you really care about apologetics or something of that nature, and so every time you read things through the scripture, something to that nature jumps out at you. Maybe you are a helps person, and so when you're reading things like Martha and such in the scripture, those stories really jump out at you. Those are just some clues. So, but a gifted person will be more burdened in the area that he's gifted in. Are there people that you know that always bring up this topic or this within the church, or this is their concern about the scriptures or body life or so forth? Those are clues. But get involved with the guidance of older believers. I think this is important. There's wisdom in many counselors, but there's wisdom in especially older believers. I'm not talking in age. I'm talking people that have been Christians for years. There is a wealth of knowledge there that we can tap into, and it's important to do that because gifts are noticeable by others. This is the thing. Remember, they're God bestowed upon a person, and oftentimes you may not even know what your spiritual gift is, but other people around you probably recognize it because God is doing it. It's like being recognized as an elder or as some church position like office like that. Is that I know I asked that question when talked about with it. You know, well, who's doing the work? That answers the question, doesn't it? Who do you already see doing this? Because we don't want to make somebody something they're not. It's important to see what the Lord is already doing, and then we just recognize it. Do your actions edify the body? You know, these are things, you know, do people come up and say something to you about a help that you did or whatever? Do you bring edification? We don't want to neglect it, and we want to beware not to criticize others for not being as involved in an area that we might be. Remember, it's diversities of gifts, and we don't want to squeeze everyone into the same mold. So, I don't know if I have. No. That's it. One thing that stood out to me going through this, I know it's kind of natural for us to want to do some or be, maybe not want to be, but just think we're not doing a big thing. You know, it's easy to kind of throw in the towel and just say, well, what's the point, or what does this really help anybody? Is this really beneficial? You know, setting up chairs, is that really a big thing? Throwing books on the chairs, is that really a big thing? You might feel that these things are insignificant, but as I was going through this list, and I know that we've breezed through them, what really stood out is a lot of these things are little things. Helps, you know, administrations, mercies, and these things. It's just the everyday little things. And they are necessary. They are needed. Not everybody's a foot and not everybody's an eye. But if I got feet and no eyes, life's hard. Right? You know, the body needs all the pieces and parts functioning. If your hand gets cut off, it's painful. When we suffer, one member suffers, we all suffer with it. So, recognizing these things, everybody's got different measures, and we don't need to, in our whatever we think is a big thing or a more important thing or whatever, just we need to follow the Lord's leading in these things and not be sidetracked by that type of thinking and worries. So anyway, these are the gifts. Just some thoughts on how to function and operate together, things to be reminded of in how the body works. Any comments quick here before we close?
I just think it's if the gifts are by the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit gives each one of us gifts, you can be sure that the Holy Spirit will be giving you opportunities to use the gift and to be spiritually alert and prepared. Because sometimes we can be taken by surprise by opportunities that come our way and maybe not be quite ready. So I was just saying, you know, what you were saying about being in the Word daily, what is the Lord speaking to you this day? And remember it, because there may be an opportunity that will follow.
It's really easy, especially in like teenage years, at least it was for me, to really get focused on what is my gift and what should I be doing, and kind of just be thinking about yourself. And my first time ever studying these three passages and the outworking of gifts in the New Testament, one of the things that I thought was really good to learn was in these passages, the way that these gifts come out are, as you kind of mentioned, are very interconnected. In other words, when you exercise your gift, you know, it's not like, well, I did my part, I'm exercising my gifts, whatever else happens is not up to me. You know, when you exercise your gift, in most cases, if not every case, you're helping someone else exercise theirs effectively. And that's that edification. I think that sometimes we think of edification in the wrong way too, and that's at least I have, where if I go to church, I better get edified. I think of it selfishly, when it's more blessed to give than to receive. You might get blessing coming towards you, but you might get even more blessing by bringing blessings to others. And that's Christ-like, too, to see that unselfish love working through the church. So just that another kind of one of those mindset things. I think you have to slide on the wrong mindsets. It's easy to fall into those.
Yeah, and in a fellowship of our size, we notice when somebody's not here. You can feel it. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying, oh, we missed you. I'm not talking about nagging or anything like that. I'm talking about it's honestly noticeable. Like somebody else has to jump in and take care of this, because this person isn't here. That's a good thing, you know. So,
as human beings, we kind of, when we organize things outside of the church, we want to plan, and we have the whole, whatever project it is. How does it start? How is it going to look midway? How's the Lord going to look 5 years from now? And then we have all these steps to do it. And so it's like there's this blueprint. When you come to church, there is, the blueprint is in, the Holy Spirit has the blueprint. And I'm not the Holy Spirit. So I have to do my part. And I may not even know how what I'm doing is edifying, like every single, some things might be obvious to me, but not the whole thing. So I will build my church, right? It's not you will build my church, it's my church, so.
And that's where submission comes in. Yeah. I was going to use that as an illustration, like a building project, and you have a blueprint. And everybody's working off that blueprint, but like you say, there are people there that don't understand the end goal, but they have a part. And it's important that they follow the part, because if they don't follow the part, it's catastrophe somewhere down the line. And then it's, well, where did this go wrong? You know, that's a worldly illustration, but.
But then you can also become like this, oh boy, if I mess it up, And somehow we will mess up God's church. You know.
Yes. He has the miraculous ability to use our failures as part of his plan.
Yeah. Which is completely contrary to the world. Because
yeah.
When you mess up in the world, it's bad. Okay. Any other thoughts? We'll close in prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time. Lord, help us to understand these things more. Help us to be servants and be submissive to your word and your will, each other. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.